Jayadvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jayadvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jayadvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda So we're reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, chapter 16, starting with text 27 or 26? Starting with 26, okay. Vrindavana dasa iha karya chana vistara sputa nahi kari dosha gunara vichara. Translation. Vrindavan Das Thakur has previously elaborately described this. That which is clear need not be scrutinized for good qualities and faults. Sayam sha kahi tanre kari namaskara ya shuni digvijay koila apana dikara. Offering my obeisances to Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur, I shall try to describe that portion of the Lord's analysis which, when he heard it, made the Digvijay feel himself condemned. Jyotsnavati Ratri Prabhu Shishya Gana Sange Vasiyachena Gangatire Vidyara Prasange. Once, on a full moon night, the Lord was sitting on the bank of the Ganges with his many disciples and discussing literary topics. Hena Kali Digvijay Tahani Aila Gangare Vandana Kori Prabhura Melila. Coincidentally, Keshava Kashmiri Pandit came there. While offering his prayers to Mother Ganges, he met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Vasaila Tari Prabhu Adara Kariya Digvijay Kahi Mane Avagya Kariya. The Lord received him with adoration, but because Keshava Kashmiri was very proud, he talked to the Lord very inconsiderately. Vyakarana padaha nimai pandita tumara nama balya shastre loke tumara kahe guna grama. So Keshava Kashmiri says, I understand that you are a teacher of grammar, he said, and that your name is Nimai Pandit. People speak very highly of your teaching of beginner's grammar. Purport. Formerly, Sanskrit schools first taught grammar very thoroughly, and this system continues even now. A student was supposed to study grammar carefully for 12 years in the beginning of his life, because if one is expert in the grammar of the Sanskrit language, all the shastras are open to him. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was famous for teaching grammar to students, and therefore Keshava Kashmiri first referred to his position as a teacher of grammar. Keshava Kashmiri was very proud of his literary career, and he was far above the first lessons of grammar, and so he thought the position of Nimai Pandit not at all comparable to his own. Now, so this is an example of the rhetorical technique of damning with faint praise. Oh, yes, you're a wonderful teacher of beginner's grammar. So it's kind of this, you know, subtle insult, really. So like Krishnadas Kaviraj said, he's speaking very inconsiderately to Lord Chaitanya. Vyakarana madhyajani padaha kalapa shunilun vankite tomara shishira samlapa. So Keshava Kashmiri continues, I understand that you teach kalapa vyakarana. I have heard that your students are very expert in the word jugglery of this grammar. Purport. There are many schools of grammar in the Sanskrit language, the most famous of which are the systems of Panini and the Kalapa and Kannada grammar. There were different branches of grammatical knowledge, and a student of grammar was supposed to study them all in 12 years. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was famous as Nimai Pandit, taught grammar to his students, who became expert in dealing with the word jugglery of complicated grammar. Almost anyone expert in studying grammar interprets the shastras in many ways by changing the root meanings of their words. A student of grammar can sometimes completely change the meaning of a sentence by juggling grammatical rules. Keshava Kashmiri indirectly taunted Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by implying that although he was a great teacher of grammar, such grammatical jugglery of root meanings did not require great expertise. This was a challenge to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because it was prearranged that Keshava Kashmiri would have to discuss the shastras with Nimai Pandit, from the very beginning, he wanted to bluff the Lord. Thus, the Lord replied as follows. Prabhu kahe vyakarna padai abhimana kari shishyate na bujhe ami bujhaiti nari. Translation. The Lord said, yes, I am known as a teacher of grammar, but factually, I cannot impress my students with grammatical knowledge, nor can they understand me very well. Purport. Since Keshava Kashmiri was a little puffed up, the Lord increased his artificial pride by presenting himself as subordinate to him. Thus, he flattered him as follows. So there's very subtle dealings going on here. Lord Chaitanya could see he was puffed up. So to kind of puff him up even a little more, he presented himself as, oh, yeah, sure. Actually, when I was, before I became a devotee, I used to manage a billiards lounge. So you get to see a lot about human nature there. They found the best, you know, pool sharks. You know, they present themselves a little not very good. like if they can find somebody who's really a little bit puffed up, thinking, yeah, I'm a great pool player. They, oh, this is perfect. Because they even puff the guy up a little bit more and then bring him down. So that's... appears to be what Lord Chaitanya is doing here. Kahan tumi sarva shastri kavitva pravina kahanami sabe shishu padriya navina. My dear sir, whereas you are a very learned scholar in all sorts of scriptures and are very much experienced in composing poetry, I am only a boy, a new student. Nothing more. Actually, he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead with knowledge of everything. Tomara kavitva kichu shunete hayamana kripa kori kora yadi gangara varnana. Therefore, I desire to hear your skill in composing poetry. We could hear this if you would mercifully describe the glory of Mother Ganges. Shunye brahmana garve varnite lagila Gati Eka Shata Shloka Gangara Varnila. When the Brahmin Keshava Kashmiri heard this, he became still more puffed up. And within 1 hour, he composed 100 verses describing Mother Ganges. Wow. Fantastic scholarship. Shunya Karila Prabhu Bahuta Satkara Toma Sama Pritiviti Kavinahiara. The Lord praised him, saying, "Sir, there is no greater poet than you in the entire world." Tomara Kavita Shloka Bujita Kar Shakti Tumi Bhajana Arta Kimva Sarasvati. Your poetry is so difficult that no one can understand it but you and Mother Sarasvati. You're catching on to the subtle interplay here. I don't have to explain it to you. You already understand what's going on. So, purport. Replying to Keshava Kashmiri sarcastically, so even the Lord can be sarcastic sometimes. We can also be sarcastic. So, replying to Keshava Kashmiri sarcastically, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu indirectly minimized the value of his poetry by saying, "Yes, your compositions are so nice that no one but you and your worshipable mother, the goddess of learning, can understand them." Keshava Kashmiri was a favorite devotee of Mother Sarasvati, the goddess of learning, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as the master of the goddess of learning, has the right to speak sarcastically of her devotees. In other words, although Keshava Kashmiri was proud of being favored by the goddess of learning, he did not know that she is controlled by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, because he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Eka shlokera arta yadi kara nija muke. Let's see, what is this? Juni sabaloka tabe paiba badasuke. So now he's laying the trap. Now he's going to spring the trap that he laid. But if you explain the meaning of one verse, we can all hear it from your mouth and thus be very happy. So he said, yes. He's saying, yes, we're too stupid. We're not intelligent enough to appreciate your poetry, you know, as you speak it. But if you kindly explain one verse to us less intelligent students, then we'll be happy. Okay, so Tabi digvijay vyakara shloka puchila shata shlokera eka shloka prabhuta padila. The digvijay, Keshava Kashmiri, inquired which verse he wanted explained. Let's see. Okay. Now here's something very amazing. The Lord then recited one of the 100 verses Keshava Kashmiri had composed. From memory. Now, at this point, he should understand he's in a little bit of trouble. So, and this is the verse. Mahatvam gangaya satatam idam abati nitaram yad esha shri vishnos charana kamalotpati subhaga dvitiya shri lakshmi eva surda narayar archacharana Bhavani Bartur Dyashirasi Bibivat Abhutaguna. Translation of this verse. The greatness of Mother Ganges always brilliantly exists. She is the most fortunate because she emanated from the lotus feet of Sri Vishnu, the Personality of Godhead. She is a second goddess of fortune, and therefore she is always worshipped both by demigods and by humanity. Endowed with all wonderful qualities, she flourishes on the head of Lord Shiva. Eshlokera artakara prabhu yadi basya vismitahana digvijaye prabhure puchila. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked him to explain the meaning of this verse, the champion, very much astonished, inquired from him as follows. Jani janvatta praya ami shloka padila tara madye shloka tumi kaiche kanta koila. I recited all the verses. Excuse me. I recited all the verses like the blowing wind. How could you have completely learned by heart even one among those verses? He's going da 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 da, and then 100 verses, and then Lord Chaitanya quotes one of them right back to him. Amazing. So, Prabhu kahi devera vari tumi kavi. Sara aiche devera vari keho haya shutidara. The Lord replied, by the grace of the Lord, someone may become a great poet like you, and similarly, by his grace, someone else like Lord Chaitanya may become a great shutidara who can memorize anything immediately. Purport. In this connection, Shruti Dara is a very important word. Shruti means hearing and Dara means one who can capture. Formerly, before the beginning of Kali Yuga, almost everyone, especially among the intelligent men, the Brahmanas, was a Shruti Dara. As soon as a student heard any of the Vedic wisdom from his master, he would remember it forever. Of course, today we're also Shruti Dara. We hear any bit of gossip, we remember. We remember it forever. Now, Bhagavad Gita verses, Srimad Bhagavatam verses, that's another question. There was no need to refer to books, and therefore there were no written books in those days. The spiritual master delivered the Vedic hymns and their explanations to the students, who would then remember them forever without consulting books. Just see, you know, how degraded our minds have become in the Kali Yuga. Still, we see there are many devotees who memorize many verses. It's actually quite good. It's actually very purifying for the mind to do that. At least we should memorize the Hare Krishna mantra if we can't memorize so many other verses. That one's enough, really. But if we can memorize more and use them effectively in preaching, so much the better. To become a Shruti Dara, one who can remember simply by hearing, is a great achievement for a student. In the Bhagavad Gita 10:41, the Lord says, Yad yad vibhuti mat satvam srimad urjitam eva va tat tat eva vigachta tvam mamate jom sasam bhavam. Know that all opulent, beautiful, and glorious creations spring from but a spark of my splendor. As soon as we find anything extraordinary, we should understand that such an extraordinary manifestation is the special grace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied to the champion, Keshava Kashmiri, that just as he was greatly proud of being a favorite devotee of Mother Sarasvati, so someone else, like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, being favored by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, could become a Shruti Dara and thus memorize anything immediately simply by hearing it. Shlokera artha koila vipra paya santosha prabhu kahi kaha shlokera kiba guna dosha. Satisfied by the statement of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Brahmin, Keshava Kashmiri, explained the quoted verse. Then the Lord said, "Now kindly explain the special qualities and faults in the verse." Purport. Not only did Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu pick out this one verse among the 100 verses and remember it, although the Brahmin had recited them like the blowing wind, but he also analyzed the qualities and faults. Not only did he hear the verse, but he immediately made a critical study of it. Viprakahi shloke nahi doshara abasa upamalankara guna kichu anuprasa. The Brahmin replied, "There is not a tinge of fault in that verse. Rather, it has the good qualities of similes and alliteration." Purport. In the last line of the verse quoted by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the letter ba is repeated many times, as in the words bhavani, bhartu, vibhavati, adbhuta. Such repetition is called anuprasa, or alliteration. The words lakshmir eva, Vishnu's charna kamalotpati are instances of upama alankara, for they exhibit metaphorical beauty. The Ganges is water, and Lakshmi is the goddess of fortune. Since water and a person are not actually similar, the comparison is metaphorical. So he was very proud of his poetry. No fault. What do you mean fault? What do you mean good points and bad points? What bad points? It's all good. Prabhu kahena kahi yadi na karaharosha kaha tomara e shloke kibe achitosha. The Lord said, My dear sir, I may say something to you if you will not become angry. Can you explain the faults in this verse? Pratibhara karya tomara devata santosha balomate vicharili jani gunadoshe. There's no doubt that your poetry is full of ingenuity, and certainly it has satisfied the Supreme Lord. Yet, if we scrutinizingly consider it, we can find both good qualities and faults. Tate bala kare shloke karila vichara kavi kahi ekahili se vedasara. The Lord concluded, "Now therefore, let us carefully scrutinize this verse." The poet replied, "Yes, this verse you have recited is perfectly correct." Vyakaraniya tumi nahi pada alankara tumi ke janibi e kavitverasara. You are an ordinary student of grammar. What do you know about literary embellishments? You cannot review this poetry because you do not know anything about it. Typical scholarly pride, often encountered. You are not qualified to judge my work, so you just be quiet about it. So, Purport. Keshava Kashmiri first wanted to bluff Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Again, this is something I learned in the billiards lounge, you know, bluffing. You try to bluff your opponent. Yeah, Keshava Kashmiri first wanted to bluff Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by saying that since he was not an advanced student in literary style, in other words, he didn't have a PhD in poetry, that he could not review a verse full of metaphors and literary ornaments. This argument has some basis in fact. Unless one is a medical man, he cannot criticize a medical man, and unless one is a lawyer, he cannot criticize a lawyer. Therefore, Keshava Kashmiri first deprecated the Lord's position. Because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was, to the champion, a student of grammar, how could he dare criticize a great poet like him? Lord Chaitanya, therefore, criticized the poet in a different way. He said that although he was certainly not advanced in a literary career, he had heard from others how to criticize such poetry, and as a Shruti Dara, possessing a complete memory, he could understand the process for such a review. A little complicated here. Saying, you know, I may not be, you know, an expert myself in criticizing literary works, but you have seen that I'm a Shruti Dara. I've proved that. And I have heard about such things, and I remember them. So I'll just, on that basis, say some of the things I remember about this stuff. And let's see what happens. So, Prabhu kahena ata eva puche chamare vicharya guna dosha bujaha amare. Taking a humble position, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, because I am not on your level, I have asked you to teach me by explaining the faults and good qualities in your poetry. So he's, you know, keep pushing him. Nahi padi alankara karyachi shravana tate e shloke deke bahu dosha gune. Certainly, I have not studied the art of literary embellishments, but I have heard about it from higher circles, and thus I can review this verse and find in it many faults and many good qualities. Purport. The statements, Karyache Shravana, I have heard it, is very important in the sense that hearing is more important than directly studying or perceiving. It's a very important fact, you know, in Vedic knowledge, Vedic epistemology. Because some people think, well, the best way to learn something is, well, I'll think about it myself. I'll think about it. I'll use my logic. I'll come to the right conclusion. And that's the truth. But ultimately, in the Vedic path of knowledge, we accept the conclusions that we hear from higher authority. And then we have to judge. If our logic matches up with that, then that's good logic. If our logic goes against that, it's not good logic. So if one is expert in hearing and hears from the right authority, his knowledge is immediately perfect. This process is called Shrauta Panta, or the acquisition of knowledge by hearing from authorities. All Vedic knowledge is based on the principle that one must approach a bona fide spiritual master and hear from him the authoritative statements of the Vedas. It is not necessary for one to be a highly polished literary man to receive knowledge. To receive perfect knowledge from a perfect person, one must be expert in hearing. This is called the descending process of deductive knowledge or avarohapanta. Yes, the ascending path of knowledge is based on looking at the world with our senses, thinking about what we see, and trying to come to the right conclusion. But that's imperfect, because the senses are imperfect, the mind makes mistakes, becomes illusion. So the real path of knowledge is to hear from the proper source, absorb that conclusion, and then repeat it to others. Kavi kahi kahate ke kon guna dosha prabhu kahina kahi shuna na kari arosha. So the poet said, all right, let me see what good qualities and faults you have found. And so Lord Chaitanya got him to that point. He said, all right, I accept. You are qualified somehow or other to judge my poetry because you're a Shruti Dara and you've heard about all these things. So, okay, fine. Go ahead. Tell me what good qualities and faults you found. The Lord replied, let me speak and please hear me without becoming angry. Because he knows. I mean, like when a younger person goes up and on. Gets an older person and tries to tell him something, then it's always the chance the older person will become angry. So, don't. So, pancha dosha e shloke pancha alankara krami amikahi shuna karaha vichara. My dear sir, in this verse, there are five faults and five literary ornaments. I shall state them one after another. Kindly hear me and then give your judgment. Will we be reading tomorrow? Will somebody be able to finish this pastime tomorrow morning?
No, tomorrow we're going to do the Advent.
Okay. So, since there is quite a bit more to this, and we're just about out of time, may I be excused to jump forward a little bit? Okay, summarize. So then what Lord Chaitanya did is he went through it and he identified in a very sophisticated manner, according to all the Sanskrit rules of grammar and ornamentation and poetry, the faults in this great poet's work. He also said there's some good things about it, but there's also some faults. And he lists all these faults and explains them in great detail why they are faults. And then, it's just amazing how he does this in such great detail. Okay. It just goes on and on and on. So finally he says, Lord Chaitanya says, so after giving this whole detailed grammatical poetical analysis, he says, I have simply discussed the five gross faults and five literary embellishments of this verse. But if we consider it in fine detail, we will find unlimited faults. We can understand that. We know how to find unlimited faults. You have achieved poetic imagination and ingenuity by the grace of your worshipful demigod, but poetry not well reviewed is certainly subject to criticism. Poetic skill used with due consideration is very pure, and with metaphors and analogies, it is dazzling. So it said, after hearing this very detailed analysis of the poetical and grammatical faults in his poetry, it says the Keshava Kashmiri was struck with wonder, his cleverness stunned. He could not say anything. And that's success in an argument, when you've got the last word and your opponent is just there. Well, you know you succeeded at that point. So he wanted to say something, but no reply could come from his mouth. He then began to consider this puzzle within his mind. This mere boy has blocked my intelligence. I can therefore understand that Mother Sarasvati has become angry with me. The wonderful explanation the boy has given could not have been possible for a human being. Therefore, Mother Sarasvati must have spoken personally through his mouth. Thinking thus, the Pandit said, "My dear Nimai Pandit, please hear me. Hearing your explanation, I am simply struck with wonder. I am surprised. You are not a literary student and do not have long experience in studying the Shastras. How have you been able to explain all these critical points?" Hearing this and understanding the Pandit's heart, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied in a humorous way, "My dear sir, I do not know what is good composition and what is bad. But whatever I have heard, whatever I have spoken, must be understood to have been spoken by Mother Sarasvati." When he heard this judgment from Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Pandit sorrowfully wondered why Mother Sarasvati wanted to defeat him through a small boy. I mean, sometimes we wonder, why, Krishna? Why? So he was wondering like this. So he decided he would offer prayers to Sarasvati. And Krishnadas Kaviraj said, "Sarasvati had in fact induced the champion to compose his verse in an impure way. Furthermore, when it was discussed, she covered his intelligence, and thus the Lord's intelligence was triumphant." So it was all arranged by Krishna ultimately. When the poetic champion was thus defeated, all the Lord's disciples sitting there began to laugh loudly. Okay. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked them not to do so, and he addressed the poet as follows. "You are the most learned scholar and topmost of all great poets, for otherwise, how could such fine poetry come from your mouth? Your poetic skill is like the constant flow of the waters, the Ganges. I find no one in the world who can compete with you. Even in the poetic compositions of such great poets as Bhavabhuti, Jayadeva, and Kalidas," these are the greatest Indian poets, "there are examples of faults. Such mistakes should be considered negligible. One should see only how such poets have displayed their poetic power. I am not fit to be your disciple. Therefore, kindly do not take seriously whatever childish impudence I have shown. Please go back home, and tomorrow we may meet again so that I may hear a discourse on the Shastras from your mouth." In this way, both the poet and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went back to their homes. That night, the poet worshipped Mother Sarasvati. In a dream, the goddess informed him of the Lord's position, and the poetic champion could understand that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the supreme personality of Godhead himself. The next morning, the poet came to Lord Chaitanya and surrendered unto his lotus feet. And I think we'll stop there. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai.